Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Big Show, the Patrice and Jeff edition.
Yeah, the Patrice and Jeff.
Speaking of, I'm Jeff Gamet. I'm your interim host. I'm sitting in for Ewan Rankin, and it's awesome to be here. Patrice, how are you?
I'm doing well. I'm doing well. It's good week. I'm back from being sick. So that dampened. That's good. Weather-wise, it was a good week, but today it's kind of gray and cold. So cold for me at least. Like I had to get like a sweater because it's just a little bit too cold. Like whatever, 50 something, something.
Yeah, well,
Relative.
sorry it's a little cooler than it should be, but I'm glad you're feeling better
Yeah,
and you have
I'm
been
doing well.
missed.
Yeah, I missed you. I missed you too. I really missed the show. So I was like, oh, I really wanted, and last week especially, I was like, ah. Oh. Really wanted to do the shows, but not a chance.
Yeah. No, I get it. There are times when doesn't matter how much you want to, you're just not up
Yeah.
for it.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I did listen, so at least that I could do.
Yeah. So at least there was that. Yeah.
Yeah, fun
And
shows.
this balances out last week where you weren't here, but everyone else was.
Yeah.
Now,
It's the catch up episode, right?
or did we do a show last week, or was it the week before?
I think you might have skipped probably
I
because
think
I
we
was
skipped last
sick.
week because there was no one available. So it was the week before that you weren't here, but everyone else was.
True, because I was traveling the week before. So that,
Yep.
yeah.
Well, welcome back.
Yay, thank you. So
So,
should we do this? Like, like news and stuff ish. It's
yeah.
not as if anything happened this week. No, there's actually tons of stuff that happened.
Yes, and I'm betting everyone that wasn't able to join today will be very disappointed that they didn't get to talk about all of the interesting things from this week. But hey, that's on them, you know,
Yeah,
for having lives.
exactly. I mean, there were two big-ish events. I mean, one was a little bit smaller and one was really big this week, and tons of other stuff that happened. So it's not as if like this was a slow news week.
Yeah,
So
well, I'm guessing there's stuff for us to talk. Oh my gosh, there's a link.
Oh my gosh, there's a link. How does
There's
this
a
work?
link in the chat, and I am shocked. Shocked, Patrice, because
You're
I
shocked.
already have this web page open. But
Wow.
I'll play the straight man here. Oh my gosh, Patrice, that looks like an interesting link. What is that about? What did Google do?
Yeah, I mean, there is this little known event that happens every, no, this first year, of course, this happened. No, it happens every year. It's called Google. It's like I/O, like input output something. I don't know. It's really a strange name. It's
Well,
like
it's Google, so you
Google
know.
the company nobody knows. Like, of course, small company, not very well known. And they do like an event now, and no, it's Google I/O. So the big event in the Google ecosystem, basically. And that was yesterday, I want to say. Now I'm blanking on it. May 14th. So okay, it was
Yeah, Tuesday.
Tuesday, because yeah, Monday was the other one that was OpenAI. Yeah. So there's, I mean, tons of stuff. The usual Google thing, like just kind of like a shotgun shot, like just going all over the place. Like it's just like, or like, I don't know, or a kid playing with, like a small kid playing with spaghetti, like just the sauce going everywhere. That's kind of what Google does.
It's,
And half of it will
yeah.
either never see the light of day, or will, like, it will be killed in like 2 months. So
Yeah.
that's, I mean, that's Google. So we all know that.
You know, part of the problem with the Google announcements, it's the whole Google ecosystem and the way they operate internally, where you are rewarded as an employee for innovation,
Yeah,
never
for
for
new things.
maintenance or iteration. And that's why
No,
we get so many interesting products that die.
Yeah, I
because there's no
mean, there's
incentive
some
to maintain
products
them.
people are surprised they haven't died yet, but like Gmail, for example, or even the whole Google Workspace and Google Suite. But I guess someone is championing it internally. Like, I mean, not as if Google would kill the super popular services. Like, it's, I mean, that they've done that. Like, that's not a, it's not about the popularity of a service. It's more about do they want to do it.
Right.
So yeah.
Yep.
So
Yep.
as I said, there's like a whole slew of things. There's about 15 metric tons of AI topics, of course. Like they said AI about 17 million times, of course, because this is the world we live in right now. Yeah, let's just start from the top. The article is actually a pretty good summary. The
Yeah.
first one is Google Lens will let you search recordings, a search by recording a video. So you can record a video and say, "Hey, Google, do this. Yeah, Google Gemini or Google Lens, please do this," and it will search for that. Oh, interesting. Not sure how useful that is, but it's like record a video of yourself or something that you're seeing in it, and they basically tell it at the same time what you want it to do with it. Okay, interesting idea. Like, I mean, fine, sure. Why not?
It's all right. So here's a place where I could see something like that being really cool, but it's not practical, at least in the iteration that was announced. Like you're at a sporting event and someone's running and you hold your camera up and you
And
say,
say, who
and
is
you
that?
Yeah, who is that? Or how fast are they running?
Oh, yeah, okay. Yeah, okay, I could see that. Actually, that might be, I mean, just also given like AR glasses or anything like that, that might actually be a good technology to have to when you see something in AR that you can ask about it. Actually, that might make sense. So, okay, fine. It's maybe not as stupid as I thought. The next one is also, it's pretty cool. Gemini will be able to answer questions about your photo library. So if you're like, I don't know, I think the examples they showed was like, oh, what is my license plate? Like, I mean, half of people don't know their license plates.
I'm surprised how many people do not know their license plate number.
Yeah, exactly. It kind of can go into your photos and say, well, this the unless you're taking photos of tons of cars, then it might be have like might have a hard time figuring it out. But if it might be able to find that in your photo library. So stuff like that. Or I mean, I don't know, show me whatever, the latest picture of my dog, or like whatever you want to do. That
Yeah.
could be a cool thing. Or hey, there was this restaurant we went to last year, and what was the name of the restaurant? And it in your photos it finds the menu maybe, and it's like, oh, it must have been this restaurant.
And I'm assuming it can also look at things like the metadata attached to an image. So when you
Yeah, so the
say, what
content
was
and the
that
metadata,
restaurant that
basically.
I ate at in San Francisco last year, last fall?
Yeah.
It can use that metadata to help narrow down what it is it's looking for.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I don't know how good it's gonna be in reality, because I don't know like how good, I mean, how good is the data simply? It's not the fault of the system. It might be, I mean, as I said, if you have been in last year, you've been in whatever 150 restaurants in San Francisco, and you only took like one photo each, then it might be hard to figure out which one you actually meant. So yeah, depends probably a little bit on the case, but yeah, cool. I mean, I think not a bad idea to have that. Might help people find things and use it, get information. I mean, use also information from pictures. So like it could tell you, I don't know, you say, oh, last year, like March 3rd, I wore some dress. What color was it? And it tells you, oh, it was purple, for example. And you're like, oh, okay, cool, thank you. So could be useful. The Gemini model gets a faster and more capable update. So 1.5 is a new version. Nothing too flashy. It doubled the context window, so it can take up to 2 million tokens now. I
All
mean,
right.
nice. Makes it more, can do more complex things with that. So not bad. Nice improvement. The next one is a little bit interesting and creepy, I would say. It can
Well, so
join
far they've
users
all
in
been creepy.
Workspace. Okay.
Because
Maybe. I mean, because it's Google, you think.
invasive access to very personal information.
That is true. Yeah. But I mean, on the other hand, Google has all of that information already because you're storing everything on Google servers. So
Okay, that's fair.
it's not as if it doesn't have that. Yeah, they're like they're rolling the Gemini 1.5 Pro version into the sidebar and docs and sheets and slides and Gmail and like all the like meets and all the professional like tools basically. So that it can do things like summarize documents, summarize meetings, like you're having a meeting and it can do meeting minutes, maybe whatever you need it to. So yeah, good, but a little creepy. Can read everything you're doing. That's again, they're kind of
It's
already doing
Google,
that. So
but
it's
it's
Google.
also a really good reminder or timely reminder that whatever you're doing in Google Docs, Google Sheets, Google has and uses access to all of that content. So if you're doing something that needs to be completely private, like you're working on proprietary information for
Yep,
your
don't use
company,
Google.
then this is not the place to do it.
No, don't use anything Google for that.
Right.
If you're working in a government agency somewhere, like some three-letter agency, whatever, like, yeah, probably don't use that. You're probably not allowed to anyway, but
Right.
don't do it. There is that I found quite interesting. I mean, it's kind of in line with a trend we're seeing. I mean, we got the, what was it, human AI, I think, the AI pin thingy.
Yep.
And we have, I mean, Siri kind of, and Google has a, it's called Project Astra, which is a multimodal AI assistant that they hope will basically become your kind of your personal assistant. So like, no matter how you're interacting with it on your computer, on your with a camera, with a microphone, with text, with like however you want to interact with it, gestures, I don't know what it could do in the future. It should basically be your one contact point to do whatever you need to do. So cool idea.
I think it's a very cool idea, and this is the kind of use for this type of technology that I see as very compelling. Just the whole
Yes.
idea of I have this, excuse me, always on, always aware assistant that can anticipate what I need and can
Understands the context I'm in maybe as well right now.
Exactly. Yes, and can handle those things for me, like when I'm out and about and I think of something I need to do, tell it, and it understands the context of the task and creates whatever it is I need in the appropriate place, whether that's a to-do or a new document or an email or whatever.
Yeah, I mean it's at the core the promise we've been given like by I don't know how many TV shows over decades. I mean, starting with the computer in Enterprise, like in the original series. And I mean going all the way through I don't know Eureka the smart home like Sarah and so many other places where like the computer that is your assistant and you can just tell it whatever you, like TNG like you can just tell it whatever you want whatever you need and it will understand you and do it. So that kind of idea.
Do you remember the Knowledge Navigator video that Apple made in the early
Yes.
90s? I feel like with the advancements we're seeing in AI and generative model systems right
Yeah,
now, that we're very
even like
close to that.
knowledge like AI, I mean AI is a very wide field. There's like knowledge systems and so on, which are like I mean what was the IBM Watson, for example? Like all of that, there's so many things coming together like I think finally now. So that I think the next, I mean, it's probably farther away than you think still, because I think this is very early day. I mean, we see it with like everything you have today. It's kind of falling apart and failing in a myriad ways, but it's, you can see where it's going, and it's only going to get better from here. Like the tools we have today are probably as bad as they ever be. So
I think that's safe to say.
so
Excuse me.
there's a new speaking of generative things, because of course Google had to do something extra generative. So I think Sora was OpenAI's thing that they announced on Monday, and their kind of Google's answer is Veo. It's called it's a video generation for creators. So a generative AI model that can, for now at least, output 1080p videos based on a text, an image, video prompts, video-based prompts. In different styles and so on. So the whole thing, okay, let's generate a video snippet or video out of it. 1080p only for now, but I mean, that's just a, let's say, a maybe time and compute power limitation. I think they could go bigger if they wanted to.
What I'm finding interesting about this is that, of course, Google is presenting it like this is an innovative thing that they've created. They're
Kind of an
late to the
obvious.
game on this.
Yeah, it's kind of also very odd. I mean, given all the other generative things we've had, I mean, we've had text, we've had images, we've had audio, kind of an obvious next step. Like it's not
Yeah,
super.
and well, and we've seen the whole generated video thing for months already.
Yeah. On the other hand, Google has something that nobody else does, and that's YouTube. They can, I mean,
Okay.
they own the content. They can use it. So you give Google the perpetual, non-transferable right to do whatever you want with it, whatever they want with it. So, 100%, they've used that to train their
Oh, of
model.
course they
So it
have.
might be because of that. I mean, it might actually be much better than others, because they just have a bigger library.
Or it'll only be able to generate portrait mode video.
Could also be, yeah, or like whatever, Nyan Cat or something.
Yeah.
Well, actually, that would be a fun challenge to generate. Like, generate me something in the style of that, like in the gist of that. There is more for developer side. There's a custom chatbot creator called Gems that they're providing. So kind of like OpenAI's GPTs, you can basically give instructions to Gemini to customize how the bot will respond, and it will kind of generate you a chatbot that you can put on your website or whatever wherever you need it. So kind of a good idea, I would say.
Yeah, I am skeptical about how well this will perform simply based on how I've seen AI-based chat bot systems perform currently. Like
Yes.
companies that are using this for tech support
Yeah,
and
or their customer support where it imagines, what was it, like, what was that, that was it, Delta or something, some airline that kind of where it imagine, like envisioned or hallucinated, like some refund policy or something.
Yeah, I think it might have been
Yeah.
Delta, and it
I
was a
don't
refund
remember.
policy that they didn't want to honor, but the courts
Yeah,
were like,
because it didn't
actually, yeah,
exist,
you have
but
to.
yeah, it didn't
And then.
exist in reality, but the bot said so, and since it's their bot, they were like, yep, sorry.
And then there's the guy who got the chatbot for a car dealership to
Oh,
sell
yes.
him a brand new high-end pickup truck for a
Four
dollar.
dollar. Yeah, and they also had to honor that. So yeah, be careful what you put out there. The voice chats are getting a little bit better and a little bit more natural. With the new Gemini, it's called Gemini Live feature. I don't know why needed a name, but it will simply the voice is getting an AI upgrade, and it's gonna sound a little bit more like a human being, a little bit more personality. You can interrupt it with sentence. You can like ask it to do to watch through the smartphone camera. And again, what we said, see, watch what it sees and tell you what it sees. It's getting new integrations so that it can, for example, update or draw info from Google Calendar and tasks and Google Keep and so on. I don't know, adding details from a flyer to your personal calendar or something like that. It's the example, at least here in the article. So yeah, nice improvement.
Yeah.
Incremental. This actually might be more important than it sounds, because that's something that people will use all the time versus the other things that nobody might use.
Yes. And if it can handle complex instructions where you're telling it to do like two or three different things in the same sentence, that would be really helpful. Because in real life, like let's say, well, Patrice, you're very important. So we'll assume for a moment that you have a personal assistant for your
Cool.
job. Yes.
Nice.
And yes. And so your personal assistant, who, by the way, thinks you were the best boss ever,
Oh.
rightly so, you tell your personal assistant, hey, assistant person, I need to schedule lunch with Jeff, and I need to get the information for the quarterly report, and I also need to know when these other two employees are going to be back in the office so that I can do a follow-up meeting with them. And your amazingly awesome assistant, they can go do all of that. That's what we need from these AI-based assistants.
And that's the promise, and I think that's where we're heading. So that, all the little things we're talking about here are kind of puzzle pieces in the bigger picture. Maybe also what also an assistant you often does is anticipate things. Like before you've even thought about, okay, I should ask them to do X, they've already done it because they're like, okay, Patrice will need that.
Yes, like, oh, those two employees, since your AI assistant knows their schedule from the company schedule, it knows that they're flying back in town next Tuesday. It knows your schedule for Wednesday, so it schedules the follow-up appointment with them for Wednesday, lets them know and lets you know.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, oh, Patrice would probably want to meet with them, so let's schedule a meeting. Stuff like that. Yeah, exactly. There's one feature. It doesn't help students solve their math problems, but it helps them solve their math problems. It doesn't solve it, but it kind of helps them solve it. It's called Circle to Search. So if you have an Android phone or a tablet, you can basically take a picture or something like of a math problem and then circle it, and it will give you hints how to break it down into steps that should make it easier to complete. So,
I like
okay.
this idea.
Yeah, it's a teaching tool, right?
It's because it's a teaching tool. Yes.
But it doesn't just straight out solve it, but it still helps you. So AI is here. Like that's not going to go away, and students and teachers have to adapt. Simple as that. And then there's a big feature, I would call it. Google's, which we kind of expected. Google search is getting worse and worse, and this is definitely going to continue down the trend. They're going to roll out what's called AI overviews, AI overviews, formerly known as Search Generative Experience, great naming,
Yeah.
to everyone in the US at least. So not yet everywhere. It's a specialized Gemini model that will design and populate result pages with summarized answers from the web. So you don't even have to go to the website anymore, which I can tell you tons of people will hate, because that means less traffic on the website, that means less advertisement traffic, and so on. Unfortunately, that's the world we live in.
Well, this is
And
Google's objective, and this is not the first
yeah,
time they
no.
have developed technologies where they hijack your content and present it as theirs.
Yeah, they do that all the time. Yeah, so I mean, yeah, they're not the first one to do that. Other tools have done that. I mean, technically, any tool that's summarizing anything, websites or documents of any sort, is kind of doing that already. The difference is that usually, like, if you have a scientific paper and it gets summarized, I mean, yeah, okay. You know, the person is not appreciating and reading the work that was put in to write it. Okay, that sucks. But at least not taking away any advertising money or anything like that. So that, as I said, it's unfortunately that's the world we're living in. That's what we have to deal with. But it is it for me, the problem is more, is it going to make the search results better? No. Still not.
No, absolutely not.
So.
I mean, when you summarize garbage, you still have garbage.
Yes. Well, I mean, that's true. For some websites, it might even be an improvement. Where
Oh,
it's
okay,
like,
I'll
you know,
grant you
those
that.
recipe websites where you have, I mean, thanks to Google as well, 17 tons of SEO text that nobody really wants to read, and that's completely irrelevant, honestly. And then the recipe at the bottom where I wanted it in like 5 sentences. It's kind of okay. A summary of that page might be an improvement, at least
You
for the
know,
user.
I feel bad for the recipe sites because they
Yeah.
don't want to write all that
No,
extra
they have
junk.
to.
They have
Yeah,
to
they
because of
have to.
Google. And
Yeah,
then people
exactly.
give
As I
them a
said,
hard
it's.
time because they wrote all this stuff they don't want to read. And the site owners are like, you don't want to read it. We don't want to write it.
So true. Yeah, I mean, I've been on the other side of that. I had to write all of that junk too before I put the video in the recipe. So, yeah, I totally understand it. I'm just saying from a user's perspective, it completely sucks because, like, okay. And then there's, I mean, there's tons of other websites that are completely irrelevant. They just stuffed like everything on a page, and or the news sites that have like one article after the other, basically, so that you keep scrolling and keep reading their junk and not the one article that you actually wanted to.
Right, and now they're bearing the lead. So you get this weird summary thing that's said three times in a row, but it's a little bit different each time. And then it leads into the content you actually wanted.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. So yeah. So as I said, that's not going to make it better. What will make it better for Android users is AI-powered scam detection, like for phone calls. It's something coming to Android. It's using the on that's on device, which is pretty cool. On device Gemini Nano AI. So it's a smaller, I guess it's a smaller model. It makes sense because it doesn't need everything. It just needs a little area that it has to have expertise in. And yeah, it will help you avoid scam calls by looking for like red flags, like common conversation patterns. So it's actually list. It's not just the like, you know, the phone number lookup that, I mean, that would be easy. But it's really listening to the conversation and then popping up a real-time warning and saying, hey, that sounds scammy. Like, be careful. I mean, it might still be fine, and you can, there's a button like you can say, okay, dismiss and continue. Like, it's fine. Like, okay, I know what I'm doing, or this is fine. But it's kind of, I think this is a good feature because this one, this is a really good use of AI. I think it's also something that we've had to deal with more and more over time now, and it's getting better and better because AI is also helping with that. So yeah, it's, I think this is a good feature.
It's a good feature because it's on device.
True. So it doesn't send your conversation to Google.
Well, I mean, it's a good feature. This is the right way to implement it. There we go.
Yeah, this is true. And I hope that Apple does the same thing because this totally makes sense.
Well, Apple has been doing on-device AI and ML stuff
That's true.
for a while now, and
Yeah.
they've been building their processors for on-device
For sure.
functionality like this.
For
So
sure. But I mean, this feature specifically, I would like them to do. They could do it.
I know,
I
granted,
mean, there is a
not an Apple
privacy concern,
show,
and you have to
but
see that. No, it's not an Apple show, but like,
I have a
I think
feeling
this should
that
be, this should simply, it doesn't matter who does it, this should be stolen by everybody else. Microsoft, Apple, like everybody who's building anything where this conversation where scams could happen, that should be a feature.
I agree. And I think at Apple's developer conference, we'll hear about this. Also, you know,
Probably.
the whole thing where people bag on whatever platform for adding a new feature by saying, yeah, well, on this other platform, it's already been there.
Yeah,
We
I
need to get
agree.
over that
Yeah,
because,
it just has to be everywhere. Doesn't matter.
yeah, these are features
Everything
that need to
everywhere.
be everywhere.
All at once. No, I don't.
I enjoyed that movie a
Me
lot.
too. It's completely crazy, and I really enjoyed that movie.
And Jamie Lee
So,
Curtis is fantastic in it.
oh yes. Well, yeah, she is, and Michelle Yeoh, right?
Michelle Yeoh.
Is I mean, she's amazing. So great cast. I have to write down
Are
another
you
show
writing down
title.
show titles?
Yes.
See, you're the best because you remember to do this.
On the side while talking. Android devices are, yeah, said are getting smarter AIs. So, again, basically everything we've talked about, like you can ask a question about videos on screen, you can answer like based on the automatic captions it will answer. For paid user, it can ingest PDFs and on device and do stuff about that. So as I said, everything we've just talked about is coming to Android as well. And Google Chrome is also getting some. So that's
You
Gemini
know,
Nano will be in it will actually be in Chrome on desktop.
I started getting in Microsoft Edge alerts that were popping up as part of Google searches that I should switch to Chrome because of these new features.
Fuck. Okay. No, sorry.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Right. Yeah. And but it's
Yeah.
not just like it was popping up in line. These are overlays. So I've got my
Well,
Google search
wow.
results with a Google thing on top of it. Hey, you need to switch to Chrome so you get these new things.
Oh my God. This, I mean, that's okay. I mean, yeah, it makes sense. It's cool. So, there's one last AI. So as you can see, everything was AI. Like literally, there was like, oh, Android has AI. Chrome has AI. We have this AI and this that AI. It was everything AI. Google didn't really talk about anything at all, and that's the last thing as well. Is it's expanding what is called a synth ID. So that's kind of embedded watermarking into in content, so that you can actually tell that it's generated.
Good.
So that's also, I think, a good thing. I mean, is it gonna help? No, not at all. I think at some point we'll have to see if we can watermark human-created content because everything else will be the default. It's probably be
Right.
AI, but even that will not help. So I don't know. It's I think this is not a fight we're gonna win.
Well, Adobe's
Yeah.
been trying to deal with this fight for years.
Yeah.
And they added features to Photoshop that allow you
Yeah.
to identify altered
Yeah, what was
images.
changed? Yeah, I mean,
But the
not
thing
even
is,
AI, like just human, like humans went in and altered images and like all of that. It's just like, I
And what
mean,
sort of edits
that
did they
ship has
do?
sailed. That ship has sailed. I mean, any picture you see these days that you haven't shot yourself and haven't edited yourself, you can basically assume that it might be.
Assume it's been altered in some way.
Yeah, exactly. Especially when it's professional. So like you might be lucky and it's a real shot, but for the most part, some way it was edited. So that's all from Google I/O. I mean, it's tons of content. We talked for a really long time about it. But it's all AI. Like there was literally nothing else. Like, I mean, usually Google I/O was, oh, and we have this hardware and we're doing Android, I don't know, Gingerbread. I know that was years ago. I don't know. Like Android gummy juice, I don't know
Android
what
gummy
to call
juice.
it. So and all of that and oh and whatever, here's a new service we found and YouTube can now do this and whatever. Like that was Google I/O years ago. And now it's AI everywhere. There's
Yep.
nothing else. We didn't even talk about any whatever hardware or anything like that. It's like, nope.
Yep, it was all
Like new
AI.
speakers or any, nope, AI. All they talked about.
Right. Well, something that's not all AI all the time, TSO hosts.
Here's a host.
Yeah. And why would I bring them up? Not just because it's nice to talk about something for a moment that's not AI, but because TSO Host is being super awesome and leveraging the things that they do so well so we can be here. And what are those things? Well, they do web hosting and it's fast and it's solid and comes with great customer support. So they're giving that to us so we have a place for the British Tech Network website to live. And then they're giving us the bandwidth so we can live stream to you every single week. And if you notice when you're watching live, we tend to have a pretty solid live stream. When there's a problem, odds are it's something on our end and not theirs. And then they're also giving us server space. So there's a place for all the show files to live so that when you want to watch or listen to an episode, you can stream it or download it, no problem, because it's just there waiting for you. The resources to do all of these things, it's beyond what we can actually bring together ourselves because, I mean, it's a lot. So they're just very generously saying, hey, we love BTN and we love giving back to the community, so we're going to do that by supporting you. And they're giving us all of that. So thank you, TSO Host, for being here and for supporting us. And everyone, please hop out online, go to your favorite social media platform, and give TSO Host a shout out. Thank them for being here and supporting us. It only takes a minute. It's super easy to do, but it's also super important because they need to know that what they're doing is bringing value to the community. And this is an easy way for us to let them know that's exactly what's happening. So please go give them some online love. And then if by chance you have come up with that perfect domain name,
Everything AI everywhere .com.
everythingaieverywhere.com, why not use TSO hosts to buy that? Because they're going to give you good pricing and they're going to make it easy for you to do that. So go get your domain name, throw it in your cart. If you decide you should have a website with it, great, throw a hosting package in there too. Then add the discount code BTN20 so you get 20% off your order. So already a great deal, and they make it even better for you because you're part of the BTN family. So thank you, TSO hosts, for being here and supporting the British Tech Network. And speaking of support, Patrice, do you mind telling people about the live chat?
Oh yeah, we have a really cool, really, really amazing, completely AI-free live chat. There's a bot in there, but it's not AI. Like it's not even smart. It has literally one function. It's really, really stupid. So
Wait,
if
are you
you if you
talking about the check bot?
no, the BTN chat bot, not
Oh,
the
the BTN
chat
chat
bot.
bot. Okay.
Yeah,
Okay.
the checkbook might is actually pretty smart, but that's a different story. So we've like when we're recording this live, which we do every Thursday 7 p.m. UK time for this very show, and Fridays 4 p.m. UK time for the Mac show, if you want to talk about or hear us talk about Apple's things, and there's also exciting times for that. There's big things happening and big things coming up. Then you head over to chat.britishtechnetwork.com and you're in. Like, that's how easy it is to get in a chat, and then you can like see the stories we're posting, the cool things, the like discussions we're having on the side, and interact with other people and with us, and like all of that is really, really worth it. So yeah, do that. But if you are like recording, if you're listening to this in the recorded form, this way. And you're like in your favorite podcast player of choice on YouTube, on I don't know where this content is, everywhere, a website, everywhere, just everywhere. And you're like, oh, I really would like to see what was talked about. I really need that link for the cool thing that like Jeff talked about. There is, as we mentioned, the aforementioned the BTN chatbot in our chat that records everything and puts it up on our website. So if you head over to britishtechnetwork.com/chat, there is a calendar that pops up and very nicely asks you for a date. Maybe we should replace that with a prompt. I don't know, an AI. And if you do that, I don't know, that's probably not. It's not worth it. If you do that, and you tell it any date between June, what was it, 2nd, I think, 2015, and today, which for example would be May 16th, 2024, then it will show you the transcript for whatever date you selected. So if you put in today's date, you will see everything that we talked about in the chat today.
Awesome. See, Patrice, I know you say I'm just fine at doing this, but you are so much better. So thank you.
You're welcome.
You wanted to do another story, didn't you?
I would say, I mean, unless you have a story, if you have a story you want to talk about, then let's do that. It would be a short one, but I kind
No,
of want
let's
to
do your
talk about
story. There's also a
it.
high likelihood it's something that I
Okay. Not so sure.
had as well.
So there's this company, I mean, there's this Elon
Yep,
guy, and
this is
he has
one of
that
the other
company.
stories that I
Oh,
have.
fun. Cool. So you might have heard of Tesla, and it's I mean they've been around for a while now, and they've been somewhat successful, I would say, well, reasonably successful in recent years, and they have a really really good network called the Supercharger network, like an electric charging network that I mean was for the longest time one of their main selling points, I would say almost. At least for a lot of people, you heard, oh, it's like because that's the best charging network you can find out there, super easy to use and it's super reliable and so on. And they open it up to other people and it's profitable. I mean, it's which is like for something like that, really, really good. And you would think that an asset like that would be protected from stupid decisions.
One would think, and yet here we
One would
are.
think, hold my beer. Because over, I think, the last week, all of a sudden we got news that Elon had axed the entire team that was in charge of the Supercharger network worldwide. Developing it, setting up new sites, managing it, like all of it. Entire team, not just like the head or a couple people or a certain percentage of people who have to save money or like because they were struggling financially recently. Like, no, like every single person,
Yep, the entire
which,
team, the entire project. Boom,
yes,
gone.
gone. Everybody who knows anything about anything, gone. So, and I mean that in itself is already staggering. Like, why? Like, what happened? Like, I mean, that really puts every project, anything they're working on, into like the question, because there's literally nobody left who knows even like all the permits and the sites they have, and they actually had to stop construction on, and basically, I think that some construction continued because it was already pretty far, but like a lot of it was stopped because yeah, there was nobody who could oversee it. But the reason for it is even stupider.
Oh my God, right?
The reason for it is because apparently Elon wanted that. Oh, by the way, the article says 25,000 charging ports in the US alone and 50,000 worldwide. So it is the king of fast charging, especially very fast charging, especially. But the reason for it is that Elon wanted to cut staff. That's it. They've been struggling financially a little bit, and I think they posted the first loss or something recently. I mean, yeah, they've been struggling a little bit. Fine, like okay, if you couldn't argue about that point alone, but okay, that's a decision a lot of companies make when they're struggling financially. They're cutting in costs, and cost is usually people. So okay, but what happened is apparently She didn't, I mean, because she knows how important the projects are and how, like, how much money they're making with that. She didn't want to cut, I don't know, enough people or the right people or whatever, something like that, at least allegedly. I mean, that I think this we haven't gotten confirmed really. It's just strongly hinted by people that know things. But apparently that's what happened. Like she didn't cut enough or cut the right way or whatever, or push back against that.
And then
So
Elon
he
gets
just decided
angry.
then he's like, okay, then everybody gets fired. Just like, okay. So that is a problem, and that's a leadership problem.
It yeah, the people from the car manufacturers that had signed on to partner with Tesla to use their charging systems, they were saying, we got no warning. The contacts that we had at the company, they're just gone. There's been no
All the
communication.
contractors out there, they were working on stuff, like all their contacts are gone. Like they have no leadership whatsoever. Like what's even happening? And nobody knows anything because, I mean, you can imagine, like any person who leaves in any project, well, not every person, but a lot of times at least that happens. If someone leaves, some information gets lost, no matter what. Unless the person was really super useless and didn't really have to be there. But usually some information gets lost, which is something you have to factor in and account for. And but okay, you can survive usually. But if you ask the entire department, then there's nothing left.
There's
There's
nothing
nobody
left.
left who would even have any inside information. Just gone.
You lose
And I
all
mean,
your
good luck.
institutional knowledge.
Yeah, and good luck getting answers from them later on.
Right.
Like, no, I'm out. Like you're not, you fired me one day to another. I'm gone.
And you cannot expect these now former employees to say, oh, sure, I'll help you with that.
Oh yeah, I'll come back. Apparently they tried that. They tried to get some people back, apparently. It was about 500 people, by the way. So, oh, actually, no. The 500 were already let go in a previous wave. So it's like, okay, sorry. So yeah, as I said, it's just the stupidest. But it just shows you the type of leadership that's in place. Nobody in his right mind, as I said, unless there's maybe one exception I would give you. It's when the department is. Even then, actually, I would say no. But if let's say it's a product that you're not going to continue working on, and the people cannot be used for anything else. I mean, others have done that. Where like I don't know, someone shuts down like an entire project, and they're like, okay, and like whatever, this is such a specialized type of person we don't need anywhere else. So unfortunately, we have to let them go. That does happen. It's rare, but it does happen. But usually, that's also not a very profitable business then, because otherwise why would you do that? Yeah, so as I said, it usually doesn't make sense to do it this way. So it just shows you a lot of things.
It does. And I imagine that this is going to make it very difficult for Tesla to strike partnerships with other companies, regardless of what the market is in the future.
Or governments, because I mean,
Or
if that's
governments.
how you're operating internally, which I mean is not a surprise if you've seen what happened at Twitter, like people getting axed by percentages, invoices not getting paid because Elon just decided it
Didn't
doesn't
want to
want
pay
to,
it.
like stuff like that. So I would be as a contractor, as a government working with him or with them. As like any kind of entity working with them, I would be very, very careful with, because any second it might just, whatever, the color of your logo is the wrong shade, and then you're basically gone.
When I was still living in Boulder, Twitter's Boulder offices were just a couple blocks from where my place was. So I walk past it all the time. I'd see Twitter employees all the time. Then, everything got shut down during the pandemic. But then Elon, he decided that was one of the facilities that he just didn't want to pay for. And I remember just the big news, the ongoing thing with the legal process of the landlord having to sue Twitter and go through this incredible process just to be able to take control of the building so that they could try and do something else with it. And I'm pretty sure it's still vacant,
I
but there's
mean,
no
because
Twitter sign on it anymore.
office space these days anyway is a struggle, so no, it's as I said, it was just when I saw this story, I was like, okay, this I had we had to bring up. Like, I mean, usually I ignore it and like, oh, whatever, like it's just
No, I'm with you. We had to talk about this one. And I know there's a lot of people still that say, Elon, he has a master
Oh, he's a
plan and
genius.
he's a genius. We may not understand the plan, but eventually it will all become clear to us. And he's just that far ahead of us. And when you see things like this, no, he's not that far ahead of us. He's not ahead of us. And he has some serious leadership issues going on here.
Yeah, personality issues, to be honest. I mean, we've heard the stories of, I mean, like whatever, like Steve Jobs firing people like in an elevator and stuff like that. Whether it's true or not, like different story, but we've heard those stories. Like the vengeful leader, basically. If he doesn't like you, you're basically, you can go pack, right? Whatever. If you look at them wrong, they're like, okay, get out. Like we've heard these stories, the horrible bosses and all of that. But this is honestly next level.
I agree. It's
Yeah,
horrible.
so
All
yes.
right. I agree with
Now we
you.
should do
We
something
needed to
about
cover this. So now let's do some cool things.
Okay, I'll let you start this time because I had two stories, so you get to get to do the
Okay.
first cool thing.
Then let me drop my link for my cool thing in here. I have a new TV show for you to watch, Patrice.
Ah, oh, yes.
It's called Sugar, and it's on Apple TV Plus. It's
Nice.
Colin Farrell, and he plays a private detective who has a very specialized field that he works in, which is finding missing people. And the way they do this, it's really cool. I'm really enjoying it. He is his character is a film buff, like super into movies, older movies, and is like a walking encyclopedia of movie knowledge. And they incorporate that into the way they shoot scenes. So he'll be doing something, and then they'll flash to a scene from the movie where he's mimicking what's happening in the movie. Like there's this one scene in one of the episodes where he's sitting at a bar and he's drinking a glass of whiskey. And then they cut to this like 2, 3 seconds from an old movie, an old classic movie, where it's staged exactly the same. And he's drinking just the same way. And then it cuts back to what he's doing. And there was one bit where he's driving his car around a corner in Los Angeles, and it cuts to the scene from an old classic movie where it's a car driving around that same corner in the same way. And it's just this little thing, like a couple seconds, you see that, and then it's back into the regular or into the actual story. So it's really cool the way that they're presenting this, but it's also really interesting characters, and the case that he's working has a lot of cool twists. And you even get the old noir detective style voiceover
Nice.
where he's talking about the case. And it's just really cool and it's a lot of fun. And yeah, so
Some
Sugar
really
on Apple
cool
TV
actors as
Plus.
well.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, it's like Colin Farrell, James Cromwell, like Colin Farrell, also producer. Yeah.
Yeah, there
Nice. Well,
it's a lot
I'll
of
check
fun.
it out. I'll check it out. I mean, I don't like the old-timey stuff usually, but I'll check it out.
Well, it's modern,
Okay.
but he has this affection for like the old classic movies. So they
Okay.
weave
Yeah, that
that
could be
in.
interesting. Yeah, that could be interesting. Okay, I'll give it a try. I mean, I got Apple
And
TV
and I
Plus.
just
By the
checked.
way, since
I'm not. Oh, go ahead.
because people might be like, oh, but I like it's Apple and this is not an Apple show. Yeah, you can watch Apple TV Plus like and from any device. It doesn't have to. You don't have to own any Apple device. It's just a streaming service like any else. So.
Right. Yes. So, I'm not all the way through the season, and I just checked the final episode of the season is as we record tomorrow. So that would
Nice.
be May
Eight episodes.
17th.
So it's only eight episodes as well. They're not super long. They're like half an hour, 36 minutes, it says here mostly. So.
Yeah, the longest episode was the first episode, and it was like 50 minutes.
Yeah, it's 49 minutes, it says here. Yeah, that's good. I mean, that's a good like lunchtime show you can also watch and stuff like that. I sometimes need that where it's like a short thing I can watch, not the full thing. Cool. I'll check it out. Good, cool thing. That means
Right, your
probably
turn.
want mine? Okay.
Yes, please.
So mine is a really cool thing you can buy. So it might cost you money. So I heard about this company from Federico Vitici, actually. The
Okay.
company is called is Aquara, I think. And it's the Aquara home camera hub G3, so they have different things. They have like home stuff, smart home stuff, and I'm into smart homes. And this is a smart home camera. And for me, I wanted a camera for a little while, but I was kind of hesitant because I had a couple of concerns. One was I had in the past, I think Logi, and I had a couple. I don't remember what the other one was that I had. Maybe Circle. Yeah, that Logi was the Circle. There was another one that I had. Maybe it was the Ring camera or something. And there were a couple of concerns that I had. One was cloud services and cloud connections. I did not want any of that. That someone remotely could go in. Didn't want that. And so I wanted to use HomeKit Secure Video, I think it's called. So the Apple HomeKit thing, where it kind of streams locally and stores it only in iCloud, and it's all end-to-end encrypted and all of that. So HomeKit compatibility in general was an important thing, and I wanted a pan tilt zoom camera, and I wanted one that has kind of a built-in privacy mode where the camera can be moved away or something hidden. So when you shut it down, it's not there is no camera, there's no camera lens anywhere that might even still be recording, like if you're
Right.
even if it pretends it's not. So, and that this camera kind of fulfills all of that. So it's a wireless camera. It's kind of a cute design. It looks like a little cat actually. So it works quite well. Also in like it's in my entrance. So like looks usually either down the hall or at my door because you can move it. And it's not super expensive. It's like $100, I think, something like that. Available on Amazon, and it works really well. The app is pretty good. The setup was easy. It's for some reason, that's why it has the hub name. It's a smart home hub for their smart home system. Okay, don't care. Like, yeah, it actually acts as a bridge into HomeKit. So all the other devices, if you had more from them, would basically be bridged through. But you
Okay.
don't have to. You can just use it straight up as a camera. And yeah, it works really well. It's like automation. You can move it around. Like it has the app is pretty good. They do have a cloud offering if you want it. So it's not that they don't do it at all. If you wanted the there's a subscription you can subscribe to and then get a cloud offering, but as I said, I didn't want that. I'm already paying for one because that's Apple One,
Yeah.
Apple Premier One. So for me that was a good thing. It has like all the features you want, like facial recognition, gesture recognition, pet recognition, voice sound recognition. Like it just recognizes everything you want. Quality is really good. It has night vision, so it works. I checked it works quite well at night as well. Like I think in it's 2K, like 2096p. So it's not 1080p, but it's also not 4K. But it has a really good 360. It's small. It has a really good almost 360 degree viewing angle. So you can really move it around any way you want. So yeah, it's just a really good camera, and it's not super expensive. So
That's nice.
highly recommend it. Yeah, wireless at Bluetooth, and I think even 2.4 and 5 GHz, if I remember correctly. Yeah, it says here 2.4 and 5 GHz, which is rare in like
That's super
actually
rare.
any smart home. That's quite rare. So, and it supports everything is encrypted, and it supports WPA3, so latest also encryption standard on networks. So basically, anything you want on the tech side, it supports. Other than
Nice.
maybe 4K, but I don't care.
You know, if I need 4K video for something like this, I'm. No, actually,
My
no.
my no my, my like the area it is in is not even big enough that 4K would make any difference. Like I've looked at it and I've never had the feeling where I'm like, oh, this is pixelated and I needed more quality. No, like it's just good enough for what it does.
Yep.
Yeah, as I said, it has that little cute little like cat face, and then it's like the privacy mode that I mentioned. So the camera really like basically there's the outer shell, and that can turn around and move, and the camera can move, and then the camera is basically on the inside. And it simply, when it goes to the privacy mode, it tilts down. So it goes into the basically in, it tilts into the
As if it's closing its
the
eyes.
case. Yeah, and they actually have two eyes on the black thing that you then see. So it looks like a sleeping cat, basically. So it's super
Okay.
cute, like how they did that. And but it's very obvious as well. It's like, oh, this is sleeping. There's an SD, I mentioned forgot to mention that there's an SD card slot. If you just want to record it locally, they have some extra features when you add the SD card. They have some extra features that they can enable because now they have storage. So that might be helpful. I mean, I didn't put one in because I'm like, I just have HomeKit for that. It just stores it there. But if you want it completely untethered, just record somewhere. Small SD card, that's all you need.
All right, super cool. I like
Yeah,
this.
cool thing. Might have
Yeah.
cost you money.
You
I
might have
mean,
cost me money.
you have a real life cat that can do that, right?
I
It's your
do.
camera, your alarm system.
Right. And now I do have a camera set up so that when I'm gone, I can see my cat.
Yeah,
So I do
that's
have a cat cam.
a lot of people do that. I did that for my dogs. That's why I had cameras, like mostly for dogs. Can see them.
And I mean, the fact that the camera also sees my front door, that's just by chance. The camera's set up to be optimized for the cat.
It's the cat cam.
It's the cat cam. Yeah.
Yeah,
But this would make
very
a much
nice.
nicer cat cam.
It would.
All right. Well, Patrice. We managed to fill an entire show with just the two of us,
Yay!
and I
Just the two
am
of us.
not surprised.
No, and we only had two stories. So,
And
I
we.
mean, to be fair, one was really big, but.
But it's hey, when Apple does a keynote, we spend a good chunk of a show talking about that.
All of the
Makes
show,
sense that
basically.
here we would do it
Yes.
for Google I/O.
Yeah. I mean, if we had more people and more stuff to talk about other than AI, we might have actually filled the entire show.
But I think we did a great job.
I hope
So
so. I hope people think, yes, this was a good summary.
yeah, well, it's I'm gonna go with yes.
Okay.
Where can people find you?
Well, I'm here every week on the big show on Thursdays, except when I'm traveling, like next week. And 2 weeks ago, or on the Mac show on Fridays. So if you are into the Apple side of things, then listen and tune in tomorrow. There's also some stuff to talk about there. I have a website, thepatrice.com, where I have all the links to my social medias, to my projects, to my podcasts, other important things. Someone recently, I think it was Kelly, asked me about, oh, because the whole WordPress and thing, whatever was happening with AI, and she's like, hey, I mean, for podcasts, is there another solution? And I'm like, hey, I wrote like 3 years ago a blog post about that, so here it is.
Nice.
Stuff like that. So how I do most of my podcasts, because if it's just me, I just have a static site generator for that, and use that. So yeah, it's all there. So that's my thepatrice.com, that's my website. And techhangout.social is my Mastodon instance. So if you're friendly with us and you're on an invite, it's invite only, but you can get one. So just let me know.
Awesome. All right, then for me, Jay Gamut on social media, and I'm doing most of my stuff on Mastodon and Instagram and Threads. Then for shows, Tuesdays, Chuck Joyner's Mac Voices Live, Thursdays, Dave Ginsberg's In Touch with iOS. Then here on the British Tech Network, Thursdays for the Big Show, Fridays for the Mac Show. Then let's see. Oh, and Brian Chaffin and I, we do the Context Machine. And also, just so everyone knows, Mac Stock 8 is coming up June 12th through the 14th, and I'll be speaking there again. So if anyone is planning on going to Mac Stock, I am looking forward to seeing you there. And I do have a discount code. So I'll put that in the Slack so that anyone
Nice.
that wants to save a little bit of money on their pass, well, they'll be able to do that.
Yeah, and if you're not Slack but you want it, then you will have to reach out to Jeff on social media.
And I am more than
Because
happy to
not
share.
everybody might be. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So, Patrice, this has been so much fun. I'm so glad we did
Yay.
this. And yeah, this has been loads of fun. And yeah, so thank you again. And
Thank you,
then,
Jeff.
yeah, and then thank you to all of you that watch and listen live, participate in the live chat. You're all awesome. And all of you that watch or listen to the recordings later on, you're fantastic too. Thank you for being part of the BTN family. And speaking of the BTN family, Ewan, thank you for being you. Muller, thank you for making sure we have people for shows. And TSO hosts, thank you for being here and supporting us. Give them some online love, everyone. And speaking of online love, don't forget about the Daily News Show. It's fantastic. 5-minute package of the tech news that you need to know, waiting for you when you get up, 5 days a week. It takes more money to run that show. So go to the BTN website and click the little button so that you can give some money to help keep the Daily News Show running. And with that, let's see. Tomorrow we'll be back for the big sh no, the Mac show, because we're doing the big show now. So join us for that. Then don't forget to join us again next Thursday for the big show. And everyone, have an awesome weekend.